Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to Shungite Reality. We're pre-recording this on September 10th, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. Derek, you want to say hi?
As I clear my throat. Good morning, everybody. At least morning this time.
Hey, Mark. Everybody, how's it going? Good to be here.
Excuse me. I had to... I'm sitting here. We've just had a huge thunderstorm. It was like boomers. Thank God the rain was okay, but huge boomers shook the house. And I got up and I'm talking to Derek, and all of a sudden, all this pollen or something went right up my nose. I started sneezing, and then I just had to cough. But I think I'm going to be okay. God.
Yeah, you can hear it in your voice. And boomers, the translation would be thunder. Because I heard you saying that when I walked in the office just before. I'm talking really everybody, but just before we started recording the podcast, I heard her, Nancy, talking to, I'm guessing, the dog, I'm not sure, but talking about boomers. There's not a boomer. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yep, that's what it was. Okay, last week, or we did a segment on the health. A home health inspection. Is it inspection or inspections?
Plural, inspections. Homehealthinspections.com.
Okay. And since then, he's put up an example of what the report that you people would get if you had him come to your house and do all these measurements. Now, I just want to say this because the first time I ever got concerned about electromagnetic energy was when I was an electromagnetic warfare officer for the Army. And I eventually met somebody who told me a very dark, dark secret. And that secret was that the black hats, the bad guys, wanted to control the population of the world by using technology. And that was in 1976. So for some 50 years, I've been fighting this thing that I couldn't seem to stop. But I knew a lot about it. And when we, by 2019, and we started up the Cosmic Reality show called Radio 5G, it was amazing because within 3 months, all of a sudden, all these people began to have websites and talking about this thing. And it was like stunning to me because even though I'd been at it for a long time with nobody but me knowing it, and then because we didn't have the internet, we didn't know there were other people out there that actually were concerned about this, not because they'd been told it was a takeover of the world, but because they were concerned about it. So we get to 2019, and all of a sudden, everybody's talking about the EMF. And I did some shows with some very big people, and, you know, it was, I'm going like, I still don't think we got a shot in hell of stopping this, but hey, listen, let's go with it. And by then, the only reason I even went back to it was because of Shungite. By the time I got into 1982, I set up a company that went into houses like Derek does to unravel the electromagnetic poisoning inside the house. But that's what it was, electromagnetic. Well, I read this report, this, you know, example of what he does, And I was telling somebody, they said, "Oh, I want my house done. Does he travel?" And I said, "No, he's got to keep it local right now." I said, "But you got to read it because it'll tell you things that you never even thought about." Like he talks about the water quality, how to test it, the mold, all the different molds that you can be susceptible that can attack you.
Acceptable. I know that's a tough one.
That can attack you. And, just an amazing amount. Okay, some of this I got, through the 50 years, I knew that it was a problem, but I did not realize the extent of the problem. So right off the bat, I'm like, whoa, this is a different view of everything. And the report is extremely valuable to everybody. Just read through it because he's telling you what he's looking for. And he does a house, a facility just like he would. It's a real thing. And then he tells you what you can do to at least mitigate it. And Derek, never once did you m mention shungite, which, look, I understand why, because most people, it's hard enough to get their heads around all this other stuff, never mind to understand how shungite can help you. But I just want to tell you guys that last week he said something about the microwave. And he said it doesn't have to be on. It spills a whole lot of crap, even if it's just plugged in. So I listened to Derek, and so I go to my microwave, which I never use except to heat the heating pad, and I unplug it. Now I'm like an electromagnetic meter. As soon as I unplugged it, I went, "Oh shit," because I've been subjecting myself and my animals to this energy because it was plugged in. It never occurred to me that it could be doing as much, throwing out that energy. Now, was there a shungite on it? Yes, there was. The key to shungite, and I'm talking shungite because this is a shungite show, the key to shungite is it mitigates the signal so that it's not real dangerous as far as the technical way that it's attacking you. But there's still too much of it, and I've said this from the beginning. We can make it better for you, but we can't. All that energy is not anything that we have been designed as a natural creature to experience. And that's what I was confronting, the amount of energy coming off of this thing. Not that it was, not chungite, it was the amount of energy. So I get into the report, I go a little deeper, and he's talking about the mobile phone. And at first, I'm just kind of like blowing him off on that subject. It's interesting. But all of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute, I got one of those phones. So it's got a sticker on the base. It's got a sticker on the portable thing of it, the receiver end. And yet it's sitting right next to where I always sit. So I listened to Derek and I said, well, let's just see. I disconnect the whole thing. I move it, 6 feet away from me. I turn it back on and everything. And Derek, thank you very much. Because I could not believe how much energy was coming off of that phone. Even though, I mean, it, just the energy. It was fine. It was shungite. But it was the energy that was coming off of that phone. It was amazing. So everything's good. Now I've got the telephone away from where I sit. And then I start going to bed, and I'm looking at the wall because on the other side of the wall is all my electronics, but they're all off except the router. I just don't do that. They're all off, and I always slept next to the wall, and now I got that phone there. So I said, "Well, it's a big bed. I'm going to sleep on the other side." Dog doesn't sleep there anymore. He sleeps under the bed. It was too hot in the bed. So I'm going to sleep on the far. I never do this. I always slept next to the wall wherever it was. All right, so I do that. And I lay down, and every time I lay down, I'm a fast sleeper. I can turn off the thoughts that are going through your head. But inevitably, when I lay down, the thoughts are going through my head. And I'm laying there, and I'm going like, where's the thoughts? Why am I not getting all that garble stuff that I get when I'm trying to fall asleep? And I realized it was because I was not against that wall. And so I said, I kind of challenged it and I said, okay. And I think about something that's been bothering me because that'll normally trip into a blah, 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 blah. Didn't happen. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up. So what he's telling you in this report, I'm confirming. And as much information as you think you know, I bet you don't know something in that report. And it's online. You go to the homehealthinspections.com and you'll find the report. And just read that report, really go into the details of it, because you might have done things that I had done, was just not paying attention to them. And you get them out of the way, and all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I just can't tell you how important I think that the work you're doing right now is, Derek. And people are ready for it, to understand it. So, something you want to say about it?
No, I appreciate that input and feedback. But what I do want to say is before I got into all this, so I've never had one of these tests done in my house. I've never seen someone do one. So again, jumping to my cooking analogies, this was a new recipe for me, and I have still yet to this moment seen another business's report because I went at this like, well, I don't need to follow recipe. Let's reinvent that and go from scratch and add everything that I would be interested in seeing. And I'm into all this techie stuff and the gadgets, and I want to know about mold and water and air. Basically, everything invisible around your space that can affect you. Because typically, inspections of whatever type are looking for physical stuff, cracks and breaks and electrical issues that are maybe done differently. And that is an invisible one, but still a wiring thing. Where I'm again going for the invisible stuff. So I literally just sat down, over a couple of days and invented this report myself, even the charts, the graphs, every single part of it, from scratch. So I think now if I can get my hands on another report, I'd look at it, but I'm just saying it this way because I want people to know that I went at it from the layman's point of view, so that it's easier to understand. Now I do put a little bit of techie stuff in there for those that are wanting that, because of course, some people want a little more like the actual readings to see themselves and the way they're read, because depending on what I'm testing, it's measured in different odd symbols sometimes. And I don't want to get into specifics, but I do include that. So let's say there's somebody at the house who wants to get more into that, they can do that as well. And then I give you the remedies, as Nancy mentioned, and not just oh my gosh, here your house has failed, panic time. No, I'm gonna help you out through it. And then Nancy, you mentioned there's no Shungite mention. Nope, not at this stage. But when they get their report and or during the walk around, because I have just multiple large totes, I'll call them, that I take with me full of gear, electronics, stuff, and in there is some Shungite devices and or tools, so I can show them. So for example, I'll put maybe Shungite in a certain area, and so I'm gonna, you don't get different readings with, usually, I'll just put it this way to the listeners, using an EMF meter, a typical one when you're around Shungite. Now, I have a more advanced one that measures radiation as well and then separates the electric and the magnetic aspects. So you have more sensors there to read from and other devices. But using those ones I have, I'm able to get different readings. That's what I'm saying. So I'll show people that Shungite will have an effect. But yeah, I will be integrating Shungite, Nancy, just not in the, again, the menu, as I'll call it. I mean, not yet, but knowing me, I'll probably off branch and give you a whole multiple web pages on the homehealthinspections.com website and not just tell you about this stuff. And actually, while I'm on that topic, real quickly for the listeners, if you go to that website, as Nancy mentioned, yeah, there's the example inspection report. Scroll down a little bit. But above that is the whole list of various tests that are included. And you can click on any one of those and get a quick little spiel about it for radon, let's say. But yesterday I went and expanded all of these. So if you look at that same list and scroll down, I've added a little click here text at the bottom of each one where I've expanded and give you a lot more tips for, again, let's just go with the radon one. And we'll probably get into this, I'm sure. But not just what radon is, but where does it come from and why is it dangerous and why you should test for it and things like that. So I try and educate you as well, but not overwhelm you. And that was a big spiel, Nancy, but I just wanted to add that part to it. So we can start or wherever you want to go, either one of you.
Well, Mark, I sent it to you. Did you get a chance to look at it?
I did look at, but I had a question with what you mentioned with the microwave. Did you have a S4 magnet, or what kind of
Yeah.
shunt were you using? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now what it is on the mag or the microwave, it's the electronics in the keypad. Even a coffee pot is darn near as bad, Nancy. Just, pick your coffee
Wow.
pot, pick your mic. I know. So there's different ones. So this is an across the board thing. But yes, for the most part, I'm sitting here smacking things on my desk, is what you people are hearing, because I swing my arms around when I talk. So yeah, it's the keypads, the electronics. So I didn't even say, Nancy, go turn on your microwave and then do. No, it's just the stuff coming off of that, because they're just not insulated. And the microwave is, well, to a degree, but the keypads aren't. And that's, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And that caught me off guard. I didn't know. And quickly, as I'm kind of all over the place, light switches. So you think, oh, closed circuit, if you use that wording, wires just going through, different than a power outlet where something open, logically you think that way. I'll tell you, almost every light switch to turn on your lights in a room is emanating far more damaging and further EMF and magnetic and radiation than a power outlet. And that was blowing my mind. So all kinds of things I'm learning with this and doing different tests. I brought home water from another location today. I'm going to throw under the microscope and look at. But yeah, no, we can jump in wherever you want. And then Mark, yeah, did you have a specific question, or does that make sense on them? So it's, actually, as I cut you off before you even speak, the sticker and/or magnet on the microwave is not going to stop that keypad from emanating, because there's still electricity going through there. And however they're routing it through that little LCD screen, and there are different ways, I won't get too techy on that, that make it more harmful or not. So no, shungite really wouldn't have an effect on that part of it.
It's the amount of energy coming off.
Yeah.
It's not the quality of it, it's the amount. You know, a glass of pure water is really good, but you can drown in it.
Yeah, exact oxygen. I mean, I'm a deep sea diver. You can't have too much oxygen. Oxygen is toxic. A lot of people
Yeah.
don't know that. Well, technically, everything is toxic, like you just said about too much of it. Everything has its own level, but yeah, that's the thing. So the microwaves, definitely, if you're using a microwave to nuke, as we used to call it, whatever, back the heck away from it. And then when it's done, unplug the thing. And then you're good to go. And of course, try not to put stuff in there, but I get it. I have a microwave. Yeah, so.
Well, I only use it to warm up hot heating pads. That's the only reason I have it.
Yeah.
But in the same area, all the appliances. Now, I knew that. I mean, I've got magnets on my washing machine, anything. I've got magnets and or stickers on everything. But still, the amount of it, I've realized that from in the laundry room because it's in a closed space. I put the stuff in there and I leave the room. You know, because the energy coming off the washing machine and the dryer, is sickening, actually. So every device in your house that is plugged in is could be a source of really problematic source of energy, just the amount you're getting. And now you said, and I've known this for a long time, that the standards about this stuff is to stay, it radiates 4 to 6 feet out into the room, any of these devices. And but I don't I've always, it's that's the one standard that people have been using. I don't know how they measured it. You do, because you say in your report, just get back from these walk, get 4 to 6 feet away from them, and you're not going to be in that zone of heavy energy.
Well,
Do you,
I'll tell
why,
you.
yeah, tell me more about why you came up with that number, if it was just the accepted number or you've got meters on it.
It's a okay. Now it's a relative answer depending on everybody's space. Because if you have a room, and yeah, a lot of living rooms, let's say, are maybe 12 foot across. Well, okay, good luck on avoiding something or trying to find that sweet spot to be in, because it's not going to exist. Or you've got your, let's say you have a Wi-Fi router over there in the corner and you get 6 feet from it. We don't get to just sit, and you weren't saying this. We don't get to just sit down and say, oh, I'm good. No, because turn your head around. There's another device over there. There's another one, blah, blah, blah. We're encircled or encapsulated with devices and stuff. So really unplugging them all, as many as you can that you're not using at the time, including TVs, everyone. TVs are huge when you're not using them. They are on. There's about a third of their energy still being used behind the scenes that they're using, all kinds of, not just updates, all sorts of stuff. And when I walk around the house and with my gadgets and trinkets, and by the way, I have like a, think like a, it's not an old time one, Nancy and Mark, but a tool bag or a box that was open, a lot of pockets. So just visualize that for a reason. And I've got at least a dozen pockets on this, and each one gets a different gadget, and I walk around. So that's how I can do a lot at once. And these all give audible or visual signs. So they'll scream at me or light up or something, depending on which gadget I'm talking about, from a combustible gas meter to EMF to radiation to air particles to radon. And I can go on and on and do all these at once while I walk around with this one bag, holding all my devices. So I'll tell you, when I do that, and I'll go, because Nancy had mentioned the 6 foot thing. Well, again, there's so much to this that I couldn't get it all in the report and make it an end all be all, but that's from any given object. But the, again, truth to the story is there's objects all around us. So about 6 feet, depending on the object, minimum for EMF and magnetic. But now let's say we're talking about a big screen TV and you weren't getting specific, but that, oh, heck no, way further back. Because an average one, I don't know what, maybe 60 inches in the home, I'm guessing. I mean, they go a lot higher or larger, but let's say that's the one somebody has. You're going to want double that. You're going to want like 12 feet back because of the, then you got the blue light added. Then you have the actual radiation from the OLED screens or LED, or depending on which one. There's a lot of types of screens, and everybody listening, you don't have to actually know which type of LED, and I'll just kind of leave it there. But they all can be harmful. And so I also do the blue light testing to show you at what distance from that TV or computer monitor is safe from that. And I don't want to scare everybody here, because there's even a statement on the website kind of saying to the gist of, don't worry, there's always something you can do. And that's the truth, there is. And usually it's really quick, immediate fixes for any one of these things that Nancy and her Mark are going to bring up here that we talk about, and or remedies, as sometimes I call them in there. So it's nothing to be scared of. But yeah, Nancy, there's no set 6 foot thing. Really, every house is different. So it just needs to be looked at. But I love that you brought up all those examples about moving your bed, because a lot of us, if we don't have all these gadgets, as I'm calling it, you're not going to know that, you think, well, that stuff's in that room. Well, I'll tell everybody listening that if you don't know, the drywall, which is usually what separates a room from room, and rooms are not insulated inside of a house, that's not a thing, and that wouldn't matter anyway. That drywall is not stopping almost anything. Plus, it's a mesh of wiring, more than likely anyway. Insulated or not, I have devices that I can go up to a insulated wire. This is what we have in our houses, hopefully. And actually, at a house it did not. And I can test that wire, and I'll tell you, it's, yeah, I'm throwing air quotes here, insulated from the elements, but not the electrical, magnetic, and the radiation effects from it. So what I'm saying is there are active antennas, in essence, going through all our walls of our house. So that's the thing as well. And there are some more harmful than others, or hot spots. And so that's, and again, doesn't mean panic, push everything in the middle of the room and sit there and huddle down. No, but choose your battle. So at least with an inspection like mine, you'll know, oh, well, maybe that wall, because something's on the outside of it, smart meter or power lines or whatever. Well, then I'd tell you, move your bed over to this wall, or put your baby crib over here if that's a kid's room or something like that. So there is stuff you can do. I'll stop babbling now so one of you two can say something and or ask.
When I was working it in the 1980s, the main culprit at that time that we knew about, okay, was a refrigerator. And inevitably, a refrigerator, the back of it is up against the wall, and on the other side of that wall is the dining room. And where were kids doing their homework? At the dining room. And so right off the bat, that was the main, where's the power coming into the house, the basics of it. So it and over the years it's just gotten more and more complicated. And when I made the move in the bed, it was only about 4 feet, from the wall now to where I was, my body was starting up. But that 4 feet made a hell of a lot of difference.
Oh.
And I want to say something else about my house and get your opinion of it. But because of the flooding, I rewired the entire house. And I went, instead of going through the walls, we went up to the ceiling. And the wires are actually above us. But, that's 5 feet away from anything, So they're not, sur I'm not surrounded by live wire. It's all, I mean, except for the outlets and that sort of things. But even the outlets I've got raised. So it's like now I'm going like, well, that, because I've had that for probably 20 years or more. Oh, that was a good thing to do. It's probably better here than in other houses just from the fact that it's in ceiling and you're not sitting by any of it. Except if there's an outlet there. And that's one of the reasons I tell people two things. Put stuff on your outlets, shungite. There's different ways of doing it. Put a sticker, put some paint, put some rubber, whatever, to do that. But to have shungite on your body. Because even though we can give you, and Derek in particular, can give you all sorts of hints about how to mitigate the amount, and we're talking about the amount of energy coming in, we're still getting hit with it. But the beauty of shungite is that when it's on your body, it's continually readjusting your energy field to, let's say, dispel this excess energy. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You actually, and that, there's been studies on that. We've gone over that where they've documented the person physiologically, not just returning to health, but getting stronger from having shungite on their body. So in their aura or biofield. Oh, that's absolutely a thing. Before we get, excuse me, too far, Nancy, from you made a comment about a refrigerator. So I just want to let people know. So I would just a suggestion, but anyone who has a fridge that has dispenses water and or an ice maker in it, I would never use those things. If you want to use the ice maker, use it for if you got a swelled up ankle or something, you want to put ice on it, great. Do not put that ice in your drinks. Don't give it to your animals. Don't give that water to your animal. Nothing. Those shouldn't even exist unless you actually replace all the hoses. I'll back up. And I found this out in a Darrington house of mine when I went in and checked the fridge and went under the house and checked all the lines. So basically, behind any fridge that has that, and a lot of them don't now for a reason too, there's a small hose. Just think like an aquarium hose. It's different, it's a more dense one, but there's a plastic hose that's going to a water inlet. Of course, water has to get in that fridge to make the ice or dispense. Well, what's not happening is nobody's going back there taking off those little hoses and cleaning them. There is so much bacteria and so much stuff sitting in there for years, usually. And when I test the water coming out of those and put it under a microscope, oh my gosh, everybody has a living, and I don't care how good your water is coming from this place, that place, whatever. Water is sitting in that little plastic tube on the back that hangs out and plugs in, and or anywhere in between that, and I can go into the plumbing part of it. That water's not good to drink unless you disconnect it, you send some ozone water through that hose occasionally and or clean and take it apart, because the water, if you think about it, and just in your head visualize, it's coming from a hose to the fridge. Well, there's other dispensers in there moving places. When that little ice maker moves and dumps stuff, the water has to go here, there, and wherever. Well, has that ever been cleaned? No. Okay, now imagine your dog or cat water bowl. And you guys are very aware of this, listeners and Nancy Mark. That biofilm, that slick stuff in there, same stuff occurs in there. So now all your water's just going through that. And then depending on the water source and how long and whatever else, it's not, in my opinion, that is not potable water. So we call them the militaries, too, Nancy. So, and I've never seen good stuff come out. So even the ice cubes, again, use it for cooling stuff off, throw it in your ice chest, but I'd make a suggestion, don't drink it.
Well,
And
as you were explaining that, I was thinking about my air conditioner unit and the drain. If you look at that drain, and what happens? It gets blocked up with crap. It's the same concept. It's never been cleaned. You don't clean the, well, you do when the guy, when it's clapped up and you're dripping water into the, the house.
clean your swamp coolers too, everybody. So dump the water out. Just give it a good, throw some chlorine, light chlorine water in there. Rinse it out. It'll kill stuff. If you don't have ozone machines, then that'll work just as well. Ozone, I'm sorry, chlorine. Say you find mold in your house. You can do that. You can get a chlorine mixture in a spray bottle and get the topical stuff. But, it's more of the story then because it came from somewhere. But I'm saying there's stuff you can do. But yeah, don't drink. And I didn't want to get a whole spiel there like I did, but it's important that people know because a lot of us have or
Well,
grew up
no,
with.
I think it's critical that they know it because they're not going to be able to access you. And, and anybody out there that's got a young kid that's looking for a job, you point them towards looking at what Derek's doing because these people are not out there. And, this is just going to get bigger and bigger, and more people are not going to want to buy a house until they have it completely checked out like Derek does. Those people don't exist. It's a job waiting to be done. And I'm very proud of Derek for having, going along with this because it's so critical because there's simple things that you can do to mitigate a lot of this. You can't get rid of all of it, but you can help heal your body continually with using shungite. You can use shungite on all the devices and stuff, but still, it's a tremendous amount of electromagnetic radiation, mold, all these chemicals. You're cleaning chemicals. Let me tell people something that they probably don't know because it's not publicized. When they've done tests with white vinegar against all these antibiotic things that they throw over at you when you spend a lot of money and you're spraying all around, you get all sorts of chemistry in it. The white vinegar kills more bacteria than anything else. You don't need to put the money into these things. Put the money into natural things. And white vinegar is fairly natural. So, there's things that you can discover that will make a change in your, not just your life, but the life of your animals and the children who are so much smaller that in the same environment, I mean, a kid's skull isn't as thick as an adult's skull. So this electromagnetic stuff is hitting them and in a way that it doesn't hit an adult even. This is important information because everybody can just put it into your lifestyle and you don't know everything, but you do know that you can make a difference by doing simple things like paying attention to where all these things are and moving them and what we've been talking about. Now, one thing I did want to make sure that I asked you about because I don't fly on airplanes. I don't do that anymore. And when I did, I would turn off my cell phone. I just turn it off. But what is this airplane mode? Because your description of putting on the airplane mode for kids using their equipment, their technology. I used to see people with kids in the back seat of the car with the tablets open, and I would think, my God, what is that? What is the electromagnetic pollution quality in that car? Now, how does the airplane mode work, and why would that, let's say, mitigate the amount of energy coming off of it?
What it's going to mitigate would be the transmitting, receiving, the sending. So airplane mode stops it from talking to any outside devices. But as far as energy coming off the electronics, no, that's where you still want to have shungite on you, something like that. So it's, but
So
that's,
it's just stopping the Wi-Fi, basically.
yeah, basically, exactly, and updates and stuff. I will be, and I'm going to step out for a moment, guys, if you guys can continue, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Mark, what are you thinking about all this?
Is what you're doing the same as a building biologist? That's the, I guess the biohacking term, for years of these kind of building measurements, mitigations, and remediation.
But are there very many people out there actually doing home inspections?
I mean, not that I know of. Like, I should make it up in conversation to people, I run into, but I just wanted to see you as the first question. Is it the same as a building biologist, if he knows what that is?
Okay, well, we'll ask him when he comes back.
But in regards to the PDF you sent, yeah, it's super extensive. I'm hoping he can post that if maybe I didn't see it in the Shungite group and his other groups of just how much exposure we're getting, even to those of us who have been mindful for years and decades. I've been a health nut for, gosh, almost 3 decades now. And then when you, what's the word, make it cumulative or you pile up all these things you have to be aware of and constantly do. And it's not like an inconvenience, but it's like what you said about not the quality, but the amount, the volume of what Dr. Cruz calls non-native EMF, because the obviously natural EMFs are like when you're in nature, the sun,
I'm
the
back.
grounding. And a question to both of you, I guess second question for Derek. Aside from if what he does, since he, I think I guess he's here. If what he does is the same as a building biologist, the next question would be, I look at this thing and for the average person, I mean, we know that American healthcare, let alone Western healthcare, people have the worst health out of anybody in the world. Bards FM did this, and I recommend people listen to it. I forget which one it was, maybe a month ago, on health. And 90 essential nutrients, which is from Dr. Peter Glynn. And you have these people, now I still have to verify this, that live up to 160 years old. And the common theme is they're not from the West, they're in third world countries, and they've never been to a hospital. There were other instances of like 110, 120, but like Persia had the ones that lived to 160s. And I still want to, cross-reference sources on that other than from Bards, but it makes sense considering how much bombardment of these toys that we have and the stuff his government is doing. Like, I don't even know how Starlink is affecting people. It's just constant piling up. It's a wonder how people are still alive. So Derek, I don't know if you heard the two questions I asked, but that second question being, how are people still functioning and alive with ignorant of all of these things? I mean, if we had a foundational schooling of the electric body, I'm starting to see Dr. Robert Obecker being more viralized in social media. His clip from the 60 Minutes back in the 70s and how he lost all funding because of that interview, it's gaining more traction. And Dr. Cruz has been talking about it for what, 20 years? And Nancy, your people. And Derek, your studies. Those two questions, I guess.
I have some input real quickly on the living food one to start with, as I jotted it down. But you're talking about people, and that's what it would be called. People living over 100, and that's what they should be. We should be living at probably 130 or so, with these vehicles, typically, unless something else gets in the way. And there's a whole nother topic we can talk about another time on why beekeepers live longer than most. But it's living food, and that does apply to the beekeeper thing too. So a lot of these people, lack of EMF in their direct environment, and there's no avoiding it because it's coming from satellites and other areas, so it's there no matter what. But the heightened part that we're talking about in the West, and then many of them eat what is sometimes called living food. So we're talking about berries and fruits right off of, not from a grocery store, right off of the tree. It's still living. The electrons, and you have to get to that level of it, are still actively moving. It's not in a state of decay yet. That's what happens. Literally, the second you pluck a berry, and berries are the best to eat, pluck it off of that vine, it's the energy, as we'll just vaguely call it, the orgone energy to live in these electrons, start dissipating, turning down. We don't need food. We need the energy from food. So what we're doing in the West is eating food. We'll say, well, we're eating berries. I'm eating my apples, my banana. Okay. With no physical nutrients in it, for one thing, that your vehicle needs, but definitely no living energy or orgone actively moving around that organism or whatever, if we're talking about animal plant, but vegetable or fruit, and that's what we need. So until we see it that way, we're going to get sick and not live long. So they're eating nuts too. Nuts is another thing. Living energy. That nut is germinating, starting to, or in the process of getting ready to, because it's a seed, to germinate. So it's a ready to do that. So more of a package of energy there. But yeah, seeds and nuts, fruits, but they have to be as quickly off the vine or tree as possible. That's why the people that graze and things, yeah, much healthier. And that's what those people typically eat. So closer we can get to that. But again, good luck on walking into a grocery store and finding any fruit or vegetable with any real energy, let alone the nutrients that have been zapped out of the soil that they're growing that broccoli in, or strawberry, that now they're having to put strawberries in gas containers, removing oxygen, adding other gases to turn them red. Enhance it's horrible. We don't have living food in America. So you'd have to grow it yourself and then take care of the other stuff in the environment that your neighbors are spraying or whatever else.
Well,
I don't. Go ahead.
it's also, like when I was a 16-year-old working at this laundry place, they were making cleaning uniforms and stuff like that. There were about a whole the other people working there were basically Polish immigrants. And one day we were eating lunch, and they started talking about, oh, the dandelions are back, and how they were going to make soup and eat salads. And I thought, oh my God, they're so poor, they can only eat dandelions, weeds. And I all my life I've said, why didn't I mean, I wished I had paid more attention, because they probably knew of other things that grow around you. People call them weeds, but they're actually very good food sources.
Yeah, plantain, one of the weeds that are everywhere people see. There's broadleaf and narrowleaf plantain in everybody's yard, I guarantee it, just about, unless you manicure it. But no, yeah, plantain you can eat. It's medicinal. People should Google that one, look it up, and then go, well, I got that weed in my yard, and it's actually medicinal. Just like every single aspect of the dandelion, I've harvested them for years and made teas from the roots to the leaves of the flower. What you brought up, Nancy, is one of the planet's best nutrient sources, antibiotics. I mean, all sorts of things. Dandelion, little flower, everybody thinks is a weed.
And they poison the grass to get rid of the dandelions. I mean, Lord, it's a wonder. It's like Marx says, how do we live as long as we do?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But it doesn't have to be a weed. Marigolds. Somebody gave me a marigold plant, so I look it up, and I'm looking. I go to the, what's the nutritional value of marigolds? And I found out that the entire plant is nutritional. So I got up, I went out there, and I took some of the seeds and put it in my mouth, and I went boom. I mean, the energy that came off of that, those seeds were absolutely stunning. So, it's like now I'm in the process of trying to get marigolds growing, because to me it's not just one of the best pollinators in the world, help the bees and stuff. It puts out some kind of a scent or something that gets the mosquitoes away from you. And I mean, that's the thing, is that God gave us everything we need to be healthy, but the dark side doesn't want you to know what that is. No, that's a weed. You don't want to eat that. Yes, I do. I want to eat live things. And the other thing about these people that are foraging in nature is that they're also breathing in pollen. You go outside, and I've got pine trees and stuff. Well, that pollen that might have made me sneeze could have been palm pollen from the palm trees. There's things around you. Pollen can be, a headache sometimes, but it's also can be a nutritional thing. And I think that's been very underestimated. The Vedrus of Russia, the ancient people of Russia, their priests had a saying, and it was, breathe to eat. And what does that mean? And it's part of the this is the Ringing Cedars of Russia books. There's a series of them. And in one part of it, they were talking about this particular saying that the priests have. And it turns out that pollen itself is very, very nutritional. So if you go out into a, nature and you're breathing in pollen, you're breathing in nutrition that your body takes. It's like Derek says, it's not the food. It's that the food is a carrier for life energy. And if it's dead, it's like a friend of mine was talking to a guy that works in a local produce, grocery store, but the produce department. And he told her that every apple she bought from that store was 2 years old before she ever bought it. So, I mean, you gotta start. Yes, it's a work. It's not going to the grocery store and picking something up, but we are the United States has more chronic diseases. I think it's like 76% or something of the kids right now have chronic diseases. It's stunning. But again, it's like Derek is trying to point out in this report, there are things we can do, simple things. But the most important thing is to understand it. So I highly recommend that if you don't do anything else, read that report. It's 42 pages long. A lot of it's graphs and stuff. It's not that much reading, but the amount of information, I mean, I've got notes here about other things that I went, boy, I didn't even think about that, And the blue light is a critical situation. When I took measurements, tripod meter, off of the LED lamps, you had a bad situation, but it was only a couple of inches away from the bulbing, the mechanics of the light, and shungite made a definite difference there. Definitely could feel it. So your lamps, I mean, I've got all these lamps. I like the metal lamps because I can just stick the magnets on them. But most every lamp that you have has some piece of metal that you can attach the magnet to. And it will make a difference in every single light. And the other thing that's very important was your discussion of the LED when you were telling people to buy, to use the ones that are at 2700 versus anything above that, because that's the warm light. It doesn't have as much of the blue in it. And I had learned that years ago. So all of the lights in this house are the, warmer light. Because you go to the store and you see these things and there's daylight and it's this light and that. What the heck do you look for? Only look for that 2700. If it's 2700 is the base, the first one you go, in this case it's 2700 to 3000. Just remember 2700. You see the 2700, that's the one you want to buy. I wanted to just point that out because to me it made a lot of sense. The Fleur, the fluorescent, looking at the heating and
The
stuff.
FLIR, yeah.
Yeah, that was fascinating. Because it can tell you all of the hidden things in your house, like your electric system, is it good or is it bad? And that, you're going to pull out the lines and get an electrician in to look that. You can just take one of these things and go through your house and see if there's a problem. And if you see a problem that's really registering high, call an electrician. We're talking about the health of your house and that, therefore, everybody in it. So this is critical information if you want to live in a good environment. Did you see anything that you wanted to ask about, Mr. Mark? Do you have anything?
Anything else? Let me see. Yeah, I know he's just starting out, but what about the next level of things of ley lines and like I guess multidimensional things? Because when I took the biogeometry foundational course, there were these different ley lines, like toxic ones, that do affect people that are all over the place. And maybe like as a another feature of what you'll be doing, because I know you've done what do you call it? Entity clearings in places, but ley lines could be another thing in terms of the multidimensional aspect of this whole thing of mitigation.
And I'm back now. So I'm not sure exactly what you're asking. On if
I
you
mean,
ask.
like, if there is a bad ley line going through, or is, I mean, as far as biogeometry goes, there's different ways to measure and see if there's a toxic ley line going through a house, or even if people want to see if there's a positive ley line that is going through. So I figure there's different, would be different categories in being, let's say, a multidimensional building biologist. Mitigating energies of a structure beyond the obvious materialist perspective.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea, and I hadn't heard that term before either. But yeah, that's something that definitely happens, and during these inspect or you know as a result or during the inspections. Yeah, that was a mouthful as far as the multi multi the building biologist one. I hadn't heard of that either. It's and then I'm gonna have to be blunt here with you guys too. When I had to step away a moment, and you hear me distracted right now. There's a couple of reasons, and it's happening in the background here at Mystical Wares. The one I'm willing to mention right now is, yeah, there's a group that just entered the Shungite room behind me and were really loud and excited when they walked in there, in a good way. But yeah, it was overwhelming, this office, so I had to mute it too and then step out there and kind of close off the area, because I know this is totally off topic, but that's why you also see me kind of stumbling and having to watch something else going on. Unfortunately, that's where I find myself is here in that situation. But on the good part of it was the group that was in the Shungite room were like crazily amazed. It was like I like to call the non-believer. So it's usually us guys, because the women are more aware and open to stuff like that typically. I'm just saying from our perspective, what happens here. But yeah, it was a group of guys that walked in there and felt it and really had a response. So it
Yeah,
was,
I
yeah.
think it relates to what your new certification is about, because people go into that space, and not that it's a sales pitch, but why can't every building, every room be like that? And it can, and you're selling the tools for it, the silver shungite powder, keeping the rubber on you, the cosmic silver. I mean, people want to be around this stuff 24/7 just because of what's out there of these things you're remediating. So I think it completely relates of how can we take this Shungite room, silver Shungite room experience, and have it on us 24/7. And those are the tools you're selling online. And yeah, so it's a natural bridge to me.
Yeah, no, good. No, I can appreciate that. And yeah, you guys, like you both mentioned during this podcast, having it on our person is the most important. And that's, again, what studies have even shown. So, and then you go out from there on the devices and other parts of your space.
One other thing that you talked about that I never even considered was okay, we know humidity, and down here in Florida, humidity is bonkers. But I never considered the moisture that might be being held in your drywall, in the building, the construction of the building to begin with. That to me was really interesting. How did you come across that, or can you expand on it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways, because I started doing more research on the mold, and I realized I could use the FLIR device. So the think for those that don't know, a FLIR device is a think video that sees in heat. So then I can look around your doors and windows and look for heat loss, or if a seal is damaged or there's more loss in this spot or the other. I can also use it for walls, the FLIR device, and or ceilings and floors, because you can spot cold spots, which will indicate often mold on the opposite side of that wall or the floor. And then I have what's called a moisture. So in that process of learning and expanding and getting my tools for that, I found what's called a moisture meter. So literally a device. And all these things we're talking about, everybody, you can get online and buy them yourself, relatively cheap if you need to, if you think you have this one issue or another. But it's a moisture meter that you can, has little prongs on it. So basically I can kind of poke drywall, and there's such small holes that you couldn't see them with your eyes anyway, and actually test the moisture and or humidity levels in the wall, because if they're too high, well, you're gonna have mold, because there's mold and fungus, same difference really, just different forms everywhere. You can't avoid that. You're breathing it in with every breath. Now the catch is to not let it keep growing. And that's why you would check for, beginning with FLIR, I'd find those hot or cold spots, typically cold. And then, I mean, around the cold spots. So I won't get into all that. Depending on the wall or the drywall, but then you test in there. Because yeah, you could have mold in your walls, in your HVAC systems, your ventilation. So I do little spore tests all over in every room of the house. But yeah, moisture's a big deal thing, and but it's also easily remedied as well with things like dehumidifiers and changing filters, and I get in all kinds of remedies, as we're calling it. But yeah.
Okay, Mark, did you have anything else? I mean, we could talk about this in more detail, but I don't know. Derek, are you going to talk about the new project?
No, we'll wait on that one. When I get back, oh no, but I'll make an announcement. I'll just put it this way. We have exciting news that we're going to announce at the end of October when I'm back, which tells you I'm going to be gone for the next several podcasts. I'm going back, and just kind of go through that quickly. I'm going back to school again. So we have a local college that offers the courses I need to become certified for a structural home health inspector in Washington State. So the person that goes out when you buy or sell a house, and your house has to be inspected, and the VA loans sometimes require that. But regardless, for the reason, I'll be that person as well, on top of all this other EMF and radiation inspections. So I'll be attending, classes full time, 5 days a week, all day long for that month. So I will be gone. And then I know it's really vague, but pretty exciting news, and I'll just be vague and tell you about potential interest in a shungite study, and using building shungite rooms, and it does roll into the shungite beehives and all of that. So again, we'll make announcements in the future, but it looks like that's hopefully going to come to fruition.
There are many things that are happening that are really, really positive. So he's going to be gone for a month, so we're trying to get guests on, and I think that Lori's is going to be on. Francis, who's was on a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months, I'm not sure, but she's the one that does cartoons, draws cartoons, but they're to teach people about EMF and other problems. And so hopefully she's going to be on next week. We're sort of shooting for that. And then we'll scramble and find other people that we can talk to that are interesting and involved in the study of energy, enterology. So a lot of good things are happening. Do you want to keep this a semi-short show? Because I know you've got things you could be doing, but is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, probably not, because I'm going to be distracted here for the rest of the show, apparently. I apologize to everyone. Out of my control right now, but no, I'm probably good. But we'll have exciting stuff again when I get back. I
Yeah.
did want to ask about this thing of AC current versus DC current. One of them is our natural flow, and the other is not, which has been adopted to the electrical grid and to our appliances and dependencies of these toys. What was I going to ask? Is there an option to put it back to, I guess that would be like really expensive then, to convert the our body's electrical, or do you even know which one is which? I forget, but early adaptation of adoption of the current electrical grid we have goes against our electrical flow. And is that a possible request to be fulfilled of making a house entirely of that electrical current flow as opposed to the one that's everywhere and is against the body?
Oh no, you'd have to redo the entire electrical system of whatever of everything and the way it's generated. So it's not even feasible unless they completely revamped everything. And I'd probably be the wrong guy to ask anyway. But yeah, just go to DC, it'd be nothing would work. It'd all have to be revamped. Every electronic device, every plug, every outlet, every converter, inverter, all of that.
Well, it's a concept because you probably heard that DC is better for us because it's a constant electromagnetic field. The signal just is one going through it. So what the problem is that if you've got a straight line, not changing signal, your body can almost adjust to it. But what happens is that it pulses when you use AC, because the direct current would burn up the wires. It wasn't good for more than about 20 miles. With the pulsing aspect to it, it travels much farther. So that's why everything is AC, but it's the pulsing of the signal, Mark, that causes the problem, as far as I understand it, Derek.
Yeah, that's the, I think I heard it as well. Again, I'd probably be the wrong one to ask about that.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Mark? Mark, did you cut out? Hello?
I was just wondering, I was wondering if I lost connection. I'm gonna probably have to run though anyway.
Yep. All right. So thanks everybody for being here. You want to say goodbye, Derek? And
Yeah, we
we
lost
don't
Mark.
know.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a good show. Yeah, I appreciate it, buddy, and I'll be back in a few weeks.
All right. Have a great schooling. I'm sure you're going to be bored.
Probably, but that's okay. I'll get through it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Be safe. And next week, we're going to have the shows. We're just not going to have Derek with us.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.